Hello to our listeners and welcome to this podcast. Today we're featuring my friend Sophie Alcorn, founder of Alcorn Immigration Law, based here in Silicon Valley. I'm Asli, partner at Sage. We're a San Francisco-based advisory firm working closely with companies on cross-border expansion and guiding them through their capital raising initiatives. Today's topic is really of great importance to some of our foreign companies we're advising as they expand their technologies in the U.S. marketplace. So the topic of immigration for innovation, as Sophie puts it, is actually ever changing, and especially in the past couple of years. And it's really vital, I believe, for startups establishing a U.S. presence to really understand all the intricate details and processes involved in obtaining the right visa status. So let's talk about what startups really need to know. Sophie, thanks so much for being here today.
You're very welcome, Asli, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you, and congratulations for all the success that you and Judy have had with Sage.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been going good so far. So, so tell us about yourself and how you ended up starting such a successful immigration practice here in the heart of Silicon Valley.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So for me, immigration is in my blood, literally. My dad was an immigration lawyer and my mom was his client from Germany. So I grew up seeing everything that it took for my mom to create a new life and career for herself in the United States after she moved here and learned the language and the culture and try to, you know, stay connected to her family overseas. And I really admire all of the grit and perseverance that she had to do that. And from my dad, he was an amazing attorney. He loved fighting to help people and keep families together and give people new opportunities. And I was just really inspired by him as a child every night when he would come home and he would tell, you know, stories about helping nuclear engineers come here or saving people from deportation. So I really feel a deep connection to helping people. And I used to practice with my dad. I've been an attorney for 10 years and I've been in Silicon Valley for 7 years. And I decided to start my firm here because I saw a real, real deep need that people who I would chat with, who I would meet, were from all over the world here. And they all had one thing in common, which is that they were super, super frustrated with the quality of immigration services that were available to them through their employers or just, you know, from the law firms that they would meet with. There was definitely a factory volume approach. And the result was that a lot of their needs weren't being met and their visas were getting denied because nobody took the time to actually listen and understand their priorities and what they needed for their business and their family. And they weren't setting great legal strategies and they were getting denied. And the people just felt shuffled around like numbers or files. And so I saw an opportunity there to help people and I decided to start my firm. And we do immigration for innovation and help people from all over the world come to the United States to be part of Silicon Valley culture, wherever that might be geographically in the United States. We help people get visas and green cards. And I'm really proud of our team. Everybody I've hired is either an immigrant or the child of an immigrant or married to an immigrant. So we all really get it. And this hits really close to home for all of us. And we've had a really high success rate and that we've maintained that even with the current political climate and in the Trump administration. And I credit that back to this original idea that, you know, we have to start with really caring about our clients and listening to them so that we can help them put their best foot forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that it has changed over the past couple of years with what's been going on. Has it been more difficult for you to to approve, to get these visas approved for companies starting to or wanting to expand here? Has it been more difficult, or how is the process that you take with this?
Yeah, so it's a really great question. The US government has different people making decisions in different places. So if you're applying from a v for a visa or a green card and you're outside of the United States, you would go to an embassy or a consulate for your visa interview, and that's run by the Department of State. If you're here in the United States, you would be, if you're looking to change your status or adjust your status to have a green card, you'd be working with the Department of Homeland Security and USCIS. And there have been a lot of changes with enforcement priorities, and it's gotten really, really harsh. So, some of the new policies that Trump has are about extreme vetting and double checking and triple checking that everybody's eligible for the status they want. There are also, more interviews are being required even for business-based immigrants who, have absolutely led an impeccable life and who are well educated. They all have to have interviews now. And given the political climate, there's also a lot of vigilante officers, like people who work for the government who are kind of taking matters into their own hands and being mean and arbitrary in the decision-making process that people have to go through. Immigration is so contentious that we haven't really had any actual legal changes in laws passed by Congress, but what has changed is the way that the bureaucracy is doing the enforcement and is investigating workplaces as well. So, yeah, it's gotten a lot tougher. And, there have been, so here's an example. A work visa for a professional to come here and be a software engineer working at a company, for example, would typically be something called an H-1B visa. And, that H-1B, there's a limit in the law that there can only be about 80,000 granted every year, but everybody, all the tech companies want them. And so there's typically about 200,000 applications per year. So there's a lottery, and everybody has about a 1 in 3 chance of being selected. So under Obama, you would occasionally get these things called requests for evidence when the government was looking at the application and deciding, does this person qualify or not, or do we want more information to figure it out? And there have just been record-breaking numbers, I think, of requests for evidence under Trump with H-1Bs. I think last year they issued 80,000 requests for evidence, and there were only 80,000 new H-1Bs available. So, everybody's getting hit with this. But what we've been finding is that although a lot of people come to us because they've gotten denials and they want a second opinion and they want to know, like, can we appeal? Should we just give up? Should we try a different route? Like, what should we do? We've been really fortunate because we took so much time at the beginning to set everything up properly on the initial application that when we do get those requests for evidence, we're able to back up our choices and the categories and make a good case for it. And then we really, dig in to get the right information to make a case for it. So, so far we've gotten them all approved, even with the new enforcement.
And I mean, there's so many tech companies, specifically, I mean, here in the Bay Area, that rely on immigrants and their amazing talents.
Oh,
How
yeah.
has that do you see that affecting companies and who they choose to hire? Because there's so much talent coming in from outside of the United States. Is there that talent here, the same sort of talent here,
Yeah.
in the United States?
So Silicon Valley is booming. Companies want to hire and need to hire And there are more jobs here than the available workforce to do them. And unemployment is also really low in the country. So, all of our immigration laws were created in the 60s with the idea that they were supposed to protect jobs for Americans. But what I see in my experience is that employers would love to hire Americans. It's so much easier. They don't have to go through this immigration process or spend the money to do it. And the people can just, work, and it's no big deal if they're American. They would love to hire Americans, and they cannot find Americans to do it. And then they're just so happy when they can find a qualified candidate who's, willing to work for them that they will gladly do the immigration sponsorship. So I think our laws are extremely outdated, and especially for, in so many ways, they're just very, it's a very antiquated system. I don't know that we're, going to make progress on fixing that anytime soon, but there are, we absolutely need immigrants in Silicon Valley. And that's not even half of it. Like, Silicon Valley wouldn't even be what it is were it not for immigrants. All of the, like, if you look at the statistics, most of the unicorn companies have immigrant co-founders. Like what I was saying at the beginning with my mom's, grit and determination and persistence, like, if you have what it takes to transplant yourself to the other side of the world and learn how to adapt and how to thrive there, like, those are the skills that it takes to be an entrepreneur. And so, that's why we have Silicon Valley in large part. And so, then our job as lawyers is to just try to find the most creative solutions and pathways for people to come here despite all of those obstacles.
So what is, there are a lot of methods that Alcorn immigration law has in process for startups. What is the right method, or is there a right method that you follow with startups coming into the United States?
That's a great question. So the first thing that we do is have a really detailed conversation with the company, with the founding team, with whoever needs the immigration help to try to understand a few really key things. So, what are your needs? Are you single? Are you married? What country were you born in? How old are you? What's your educational background? Why do you want to move here? Is it, is it that you need to just be able to travel in and out freely so that you can have business meetings, but you want your spouse and kids to stay in your home country, and so you just need to travel back and forth and you don't want to have any interruptions to that? Or are you going to be moving here? And if you move here, how old are your kids? If they're three, fine. If they're 20, we might have an issue. And then what is your immediacy? Do you need to come here? Like, did you need to be here yesterday? Because investors would love to give you money, but they're not going to do it until you have a green card. Or, are you not able to actually leave back home for like 9 months, and this is a future plan that you're making? So the right strategy is really individual and nuanced for each person. And it can also even be about who is coming. Like, are you the CEO, and are you coming here to start a sales and marketing office in Silicon Valley and keep your engineering team back home? Or, are there some really critical key people that you also want to bring here with you to launch the company here? So all of those things come into play when we're doing our needs assessment, and then we have a strategy discussion, and we talk about some of the choices that are available. So there are a lot of choices. And we have a lot of different tools to work with for many people.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things we want to consider are we going straight for the green card and you're going to live back home for about a year or so until you get a green card? Or do you need to come here sooner and therefore we want to get a temporary non-immigrant visa for you to come here faster and be able to start working sooner? And there's really, I tell people there's four main ways to get a visa or a green card for yourself in the United States that don't have to do with marrying an American citizen.
So you don't want to do that right away.
Right. I mean, if you're in love, great, we'll talk. It's easy. But I don't, you know, everybody really wants to be seen and rewarded for their own merits. And I know many a founder who is in love with a US citizen and will actually marry them, but they have worked so hard to get to where they are that they don't want to do their immigration based on their spouse. They want to do it based on their accomplishments.
So what are the ways that you see those?
So challenges? One is being an investor yourself. Another is transferring from a foreign branch of your company to the United States to work in an office here. The third is being really accomplished in the past and really well awarded for your past accomplishments. And then the fourth is, you know, do you have the potential to be talented in the future? And can we make a case for why it's really likely that you're going to succeed once you come here?
Mm-hmm. And so how long does it take? Or does it matter in terms of what method they are choosing? Does it take, is there a range of when they contact you, when let's say an entrepreneur contacts you? Is it 4 months, 5 months, 6 months? How does that
work? Well, once we've determined the founder's goals and needs, and then we present them with this menu of choices that might work, then we can start crafting timelines and play out what it might look like. If you, I don't know, I'll just make up an example. Let's say you have the best biotech startup in Italy, for example, and you guys have already gotten Italian funding and you've had Italian media coverage and you're the CEO and you judge startup pitch competitions, and you really need to get to the United States because you guys really need a C Corp and to start getting US investment. If you're willing to be an employee of the US company and have a board, an independent board of directors that can supervise your employment, you know, you could potentially move here within 3 months of our conversation if you're well prepared and everything goes smoothly with the government. Most of the green card options typically would take about a year to one to 2 years if you're outside the United States, and maybe 2 years if you're inside the United States. It's a little slower if you're inside the United States. Something that can be a big deal for people in making this strategy choice is their need for international travel. A lot of our founders really need to be able to have mobility and not be locked up in the United States. But when you do start the process of actually getting the green cards for you and your family in the United States after they've already decided that, you know, yeah, you're awesome, you should be able to be here. If you do that inside the United States, you're kind of landlocked here for about 6 months right after filing. So that can be an issue for some people.
Absolutely. Because these companies, I mean, the entrepreneurs, the CEOs have to go back and forth and you know, back to Italy, for instance, and come back. So
But you know, if you want to get a green card because you have some really great technology that's going to help America and create jobs for Americans and, I don't know, improve healthcare, or save lives, or save the environment, or do something that's in the national interest. We could potentially, and you need to travel in and out a lot. You know, we could potentially do that whole entire process from start to finish within less than a year. And in the meantime, you could probably continue to visit on as a business visitor while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the final questions that I had for you, Sophie, I think it's important, is there a specific legal entity that a startup should form here in the United States that would make it easier to obtain a visa?
Oh, interesting. No, actually. But I do work closely with a corporate attorney so that we can do the actual formation properly. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. from an immigration standpoint, C-Corps are great. And then depending on your visa situation, and what you need, then we might want to put specific language in the bylaws to help make it clear that you have merely an employer-employee relationship with the company. Mm-hmm. So that's a discussion to have early on in the formation process.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how do they contact you, Sophie? Through me or you?
Either way, I love warm introductions through Ausley, and we're also very available online. Our website is alcorn.law, alcorn.law, and you can email us info@alcorn.law or call us 855-546-0015, and we'll be happy to do a complimentary intro call with one of our attorneys to help evaluate everybody's situation.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sophie. I really appreciate it. And this is going to be really good for the companies that want to expand here in the United States and as they should be doing as well. So thanks so much. So I'm looking forward to our future discussions with you for sure.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.